625 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT on this Monday morning, July the 12th of 2021. Right now it is 66 degrees as you wake up on this Monday morning. My name is Darren Pritchett. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. We're back at it this week. SportsBeat AM, our brand new local morning sports talk show on WSBT Radio. I'll be back tomorrow. Vacation time starts Wednesday. Our good friend Mark McGill will be hosting SportsBeat AM Wednesday through Friday here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Mark has been training, learning some tricks about this show over the last couple of days. And I told him, oh, I do this, I do that. And then he's like, well, a lot of these things you're doing, unfortunately, there's not going to be Major League Baseball while I'm hosting the program with some of the audio segments that we do. That's right. It is the All-Star break week. So, Mark, I apologize. I picked a really bad week to take some time off as things are very quiet this week in the world of sports. This is one of those weeks where there's not a whole lot happening. Major League Baseball has Home Run Derby tonight out in Colorado. You'll be able to hear Home Run Derby right here on WSBT Radio, courtesy of ESPN Radio. The festivities will start at 8 o'clock in the Mile High City, the thin air. The ball is going to be flying out of Coors Field, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Shohei Ohtani is taking part. Pete Alonso of the Mets, the defending champion from 2 years ago, is also in the field. Joey Gallo, who hits just moonshots for the Texas Rangers, will be taking part. And there'll be a Notre Dame tie-in. Former Fighting Irish star Trey Mancini, coming off that battle with cancer last year, has just come back stronger than ever. Had a big at-bat yesterday as a pinch hitter in the White Sox-Orioles game, hitting the tying two-run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning for Baltimore, a game that they would ultimately lose in 10 innings. But great to see Mancini healthy, first of all, and having success with Baltimore, and now has a chance to shine on the big stage of Home Run Derby tonight. And it's going to be a lot of fun seeing the former Notre Dame star taking part in that. It's been a great couple of weeks for Notre Dame former student athletes, Mancini and Home Run Derby tonight. You've got Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, and Pat Connaughton, the guard for the Milwaukee Bucks, former Notre Dame basketball captains, former Notre Dame hockey captain Jake Evans, a part of the Montreal Canadiens that played in the Stanley Cup final, losing to the Tampa Bay Lightning. So Notre Dame well represented with some of the big events happening right now in sports. In just a couple of moments, John Hoffman will have a SportsCenter update. We just talked to Mike Singer, the recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. It's a big day for Notre Dame football, trying to acquire the services of four-star outside linebacker Jalen Snead out of South Carolina, number 46 overall player in the class of 2022, the number 5 linebacker. The Irish are battling the Oregon Ducks for the services of Jalen Snead. That announcement later today, and if Jalen Snead picks Notre Dame, Mike Singer from Blue and Gold Illustrated rejoins the program tomorrow morning to talk more about this outstanding player that might, good chance, very good chance, he picks the University of Notre Dame today. All right, stand by for that SportsCenter update. We'll recap some baseball storylines coming up in our next segment as SportsBeat AM continues. A brand new week on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
SportsBeat AM continues on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT.
Degrees at 635. Welcome back to SportsBeat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT, your home of the Fighting Irish. My name is Darren Pritchett. Let's give you some baseball headlines as we have reached the All-Star break for 2021. We begin with nothing happening at Wrigley Field yesterday. A very early postponement. Very strange, as the Cubs and Cardinals did not play due to impending bad weather, according to the Chicago Cubs, from what I'm told by a local person who had tickets to the game, it actually wasn't bad that the rain stayed away, but the game was already postponed. Maybe the pitching matchup wasn't the best. After Wilson Contreras' comments about his teammates, might have been a good day to do the old Kevin Costner Bull Durham move where you just create the old natural disaster, turn the sprinklers on, and it floods the field. Probably just a good day to say, let's don't even play today. We'll play the Redbirds again in September. That game will be made up as part of a doubleheader. So the Cubs have hit the All-Star break. They are two games under 500, 44 wins and 46 losses. And the Cubs will be eight games behind the Milwaukee Brewers for first place when the Cubs return to action on Friday. As we look at the National League Central standings, the Brewers right now are 53-39 leading the pack, but the Cincinnati Reds are hanging around. They had a good series up in Milwaukee. They won yesterday, and the Reds are 48-42, just four games behind Milwaukee. So maybe we have a race after all in the NL Central. The two rivals, the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, are tied for third place. Both teams 44-46, eight games behind Milwaukee. If you want to think about wild card activity, they're four behind Cincinnati right now, and Cincinnati would be in the battle for those two wild card spots. The Pirates are bringing up the rear in the National League Central, 34-56. They are 18 games in back of Milwaukee. So what's ahead for the Cubs? When they restart their season on Friday, they face a seven-game road trip to start things off. Good news is they play two teams that are under 500, including the Arizona Diamondbacks, who on Saturday night lost to the LA Dodgers 22-1, and then the Dodgers walked off the D-backs yesterday on a Max Muncy home run. Max put the Dodgers back in the win column with a 7-4 victory. I saw the stat over the weekend, so I'm going off the top of my head. I think Arizona is now something like 9-54 in their last 63 games. My goodness, can you imagine that locker room at this point? Can't be a lot of fun at this particular time, and I'm sure there are some veterans that are hoping they get a phone call from their agent saying, you have been traded to such and such team. Opportunity maybe to go to a contender for guys like Eduardo Escobar, David Peralta. Escobar has been linked to the Chicago White Sox for a few weeks now. The trade has never taken place as of yet, but Escobar's got 20 home runs. He's driven in 60. Could be the White Sox second baseman if the two sides can agree on a deal. But I have a feeling Escobar might be in demand. There might be several contenders trying to claim his services. But for Arizona, oof. Cubs and Arizona play in the desert Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the Cubs road trip continues. Their final trip to St. Louis for the year, a four-game series against the Cardinals. For the Chicago White Sox, a wild ending to their game at beautiful Camden Yards in Baltimore. Liam Hendricks, the closer for the White Sox, was on the mound in the bottom of the ninth inning yesterday. And the White Sox had a 4-2 advantage, and the Orioles had a runner on, and Hendricks was facing a pinch hitter, a guy that's going to take part in Home Run Derby tonight, former Notre Dame star Trey Mancini.
Mancini pumps it to right. Goodwin, this one is gone! How about you, Trey Mancini? Tie ball game off of Hendricks.
That was from Masson yesterday. Mancini tied the game up, his 16th home run of the year. 4-4 going to extra innings, but the White Sox had an answer.
Two on, two out. Adam hits it well. Into left center field. Mullins back. It is gone! Another home run for Adam Engel. It is 7-4 Sox.
Jason Benetti on the call, NBC Sports Chicago, three-run home run by Adam Engel, and the White Sox defeated Baltimore in 10 innings, 7-5. Great day for rookie Andrew Vaughn. He belted two home runs for the good guys. He's now hit 10 so far in his rookie campaign. Dylan Cease got a no decision, the former South Bend Cub. 5 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs, couple of walks, 6 strikeouts for Cease. A White Sox winner means they end the first half with a record of 54-35, and they are in full control of the American League Central. Cleveland currently in second place. The Indians are 45-42, and right now they are 8 games behind the White Sox in the AL Central. The White Sox will resume their season on Friday. They get a 7-game homestand. They'll start things off with the Houston Astros for 3 games and then the Minnesota Twins for 4 games. The Twins coming off a 4-game home sweep of a Detroit Tiger team that's been playing some pretty good baseball as of late under manager A.J. Hinch. So the White Sox have a little time off, and they will start play again on Friday with an 8-game lead in the American League Central. The Sox in terrific position to go back to the postseason for a 2nd consecutive year, and they will be considered a favorite in the American League, or at least one of the favorites to win the American League pennant. Locally, the South Bend Cubs ended up winning 4 of 6 games from the Beloit Snappers at Four Winds Field. Cubs won the first 3 of that series, then lost Friday and Saturday, but the Cubs came back and won yesterday. They were down 4-0 after the top of the first inning, but the Cubs would score 2 times in the first, 3 times in the second to take the lead, and ultimately South Bend would win the ball game by a final score of 7-6 for the South Bend Cubs. They are idle today, and they are home to take on the Cedar Rapids Colonels Tuesday through Sunday at Four Winds Field. The Colonels are affiliated with the Minnesota Twins. So South Bend starting to turn things around, hopefully a little bit, winning 4 out of 6 against Beloit, and those two teams have split their 12 meetings so far this year. Finally, as we wrap up our baseball report on SportsBeat AM, very cool day yesterday out in Colorado. The Futures game took place. The best prospects in minor league baseball come together for an all-star game. This year it was the America League versus the National League. Other years they've done Team USA versus the world, but it was NL versus AL. And Brennan Davis played for the South Bend Cubs in 2019, a part of our championship team. The number 2 prospect in the Chicago Cubs system, he got hit by a pitch in the helmet in spring training, delaying his start to his minor league season. So to get things rolling in early May, Brennan Davis spent 8 games with the South Bend Cubs, did very well, moved up to Double-A Tennessee, and he has been rolling the last 2-3 weeks with the Tennessee Smokies. So again, Davis, the number 2 prospect in the Chicago Cubs system. Personally, I think he's number 1, but number 2 is not so bad according to those services that cover minor league baseball. But Davis was a part of the Futures game in Colorado yesterday, and as it was played on the MLB Network, Davis made a name for himself. If you didn't know Brennan Davis before yesterday, you probably do now.
Brennan Davis, the 1-1, ships it to center. It's deep. It is back. It is to the trees. Brennan Davis with the solo shot. The National League with all the pop this afternoon. Especially in this ballpark. We've seen some baseball fly today like that one from Brennan Davis. Up and gone! He's got 2!
How about that? The old South Bend Cub, Brennan Davis, 2 long balls in the Futures game yesterday, leading the National League to the victory, and Davis was named the most valuable player of the Futures game. This guy has a ton of talent, and I've called him, without a doubt, the new core for the Chicago Cubs will be centered around Brennan Davis. He'll play probably left field, I would say. Chance he could play center field as well. But he's going to bring you great athleticism. He's going to steal bases. He'll hit for a pretty good average. He'll get on base, and he's got pop in that bat. Not sure we'll see Davis at the end of this year. Could he break camp with the Cubs next year? It's a possibility. The Cubs could also wait 16 days to keep that extra year of control like they did with Chris Bryant, that famous decision. I guess it would be 7 years ago now, which allows Bryant to be a member of the Cubs right now. Had they brought up Bryant on the opening day roster, he would probably be playing for somebody else right now. He would have been a free agent after last year. So that's always a part of the decision. But Brennan Davis, the former South Bend Cub, gets the MVP award. A few years ago, it was Eloy Jimenez having the breakout performance. He was still a member of the South Bend Cubs when Eloy went out to San Diego in the Futures game and had a great, great game in front of the national TV audience. So congratulations to Brennan Davis, the number two prospect in the Cubs system, a South Bend Cubs graduate, and right now on his way at some point to Wrigley Field to play the outfield for the Chicago Cubs. 6:46 is your time. My name is Darren Pritchett, and you're listening to Sports Beat AM. Coming up in a couple of moments, the My Five question of the day, and the question came out of Brennan Davis's performance yesterday. Find out what the question is next from 960 AM WSBT. It is 6:50 on your home of the Fighting Irish. Sports Radio 960, WSBT 66 degrees. Good morning, I'm Darren Pritchett. It's time for the My Five question of the day. One question, five answers. Last segment, a conversation on former South Bend Cubs outfielder Brennan Davis, who won the Futures Game MVP in Denver yesterday thanks to a two-home run performance. So that got me thinking, I started calling South Bend Cub games in 2015, so who are the best five players that I have seen in person? Now, putting together this list, I decided to have the criteria how their careers have unfolded. Now, Davis did not make the top five because of that criteria. Now, in 2 years, when he starts playing at the major league level, whenever that is, I might update the list and Davis could make the top five. But right now, just because he hasn't reached the majors yet, I do not have him in the top five, but there's a very good chance he could end up in the top five. So this is my list. Career performance at the major league level is the major part of the conversation. The five best players I have seen in person since calling South Bend Cub games in 2015.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is number five.
Coming in at number five, Bo Bichette. Shortstop. He played for the Lansing Lugnuts in 2017. Now the starting shortstop for the Toronto Blue Jays. First off, it was really cool when Bo and Lansing came to town that year. His dad and his mom were in attendance pretty much every game, it seemed like. His dad, former Colorado Rockies outfielder Dante Bichette. But Bo Bichette with the flowing locks, very smooth feeling shortstop. He's going to be a player for the next 10, 12 years that will have a really good on-base percentage, and he's got pop in that bat. I mean, it was nuts watching Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the same lineup for Lansing a couple of years ago. So Bo Bichette comes in at number five.
Four.
Number four. From 2015, he was 18 years old playing at Four Winds Field. He was the starting shortstop for the South Bend Cubs, Gleyber Torres. Now middle infielder for the New York Yankees. Interesting to think back to Torres, watching him in 2015. He hit a lot of balls to right center field. With all the shifting that's done today, I would squeeze the center fielder and the right fielder toward that alley. He hit a lot of balls that way. As he has gotten stronger and as he has continued to develop his swing, he has been able to pull the ball much easier. For a couple of years with the Yankees, he was hitting a lot of home runs, but the offense has dried up a little bit. Very quiet last year, off to a slow start in 2021. The Cubs traded away one of their best prospects for Aroldis Chapman at the trade deadline 2016, a trade that helped the Cubs win the World Series with Chapman as their closer. Chapman then turned around and signed with the Yankees right after that season. But Torres, a premium shortstop / second baseman, I always thought he would be a better second baseman than shortstop. I thought defensively he may not be able to stick at short, and I think eventually he's going to be the full-time second baseman for the New York Yankees. But coming in at number four is former South Bend Cubs shortstop Gleyber Torres. We're going through the best five players I have seen in person since calling South Bend Cub games in 2015, how their careers have unfolded, what they've accomplished, is how I put together this list.
Okay. Number three.
If I was going by favorites, this guy would be number one. Coming in at number three, 2016 South Bend Cub left fielder Aloy Jimenez. First off, he was such a joy to be around. We were kind of buddies back in the day. Every game he would hit a home run. Getting on the bus, he had a special little high five handshake that he came up with. I just kind of followed along. I didn't have much rhythm. He kind of led the handshake. And every time he would see me, he would always yell, adios, with a big smile on his face because of my adios home run call. And I think Eloy, speaking Spanish, appreciated the fact that I used adios as my home run call. So he was so much fun to be around, sharing stories on the bus. Okay, putting aside the sentimental favorite label, the guy was a hard worker here. I remember walking into the batting cage, and just for fun, he was swinging left-handed. He swung the bat better left-handed than I did, and I was a left-handed hitter. Just so gifted. Work ethic. On-base percentage last year for the White Sox, over .330. Hit 14 home runs in the shortened season. Of course, he's been on the shelf due to a spring training injury this year, but first rehab game, Winston-Salem on Saturday. Of course he hit a home run. Yeah. Attaboy, Aloy. Should be back with the White Sox in about 3 weeks. Add that bat to that lineup that's in first place. Hello. I said it the day it happened. I'll say it again today. If I'm still around 20 years from now, I'll say it again. What were the Cubs thinking in trading this guy and Cease for Jose Quintana? I understood at the time what the Cubs were thinking, but I saw this guy on an everyday basis. The ball came off his bat differently. He had the work ethic. Gets dinged up quite a bit. That's always my major concern, but this was a terrific talent. And the White Sox fans are very happy he's on the South Side. So Eloy Jimenez coming in at number three.
Number two
is Fernando Tatis Jr. He was the Fort Wayne Tin Cap shortstop in 2017, now the star of the San Diego Padres, on the cover of MLB The Show 2021, one of the faces of Major League Baseball. Bichette, Tatis, and Guerrero all in the same Midwest League. Boy, it was fun. They were all in our division, so we got to see them quite a bit. It's funny, thinking back to Tatis in the first half of that year, if you threw him a ball that moved, anything non-fastball, he had some struggles. Next time we saw him, he had figured out how to hit the curve and the slider, and he was gone to advanced day in the Padres system. Electric talent, great hands, quick hands, power, average on base, a slick glove. The White Sox traded him away when he's a very young prospect. Imagine Tatis Jr. and Tim Anderson in the middle of the infield for the White Sox right now. My goodness. Fernando Tatis Jr. played for Fort Wayne, comes in at number two. And finally, the five best players I've seen in person since calling South Bend Cub games in 2015.
Number one
is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He played for the Lansing Lugnuts and now the first baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays. Back in the Midwest League, he was a third baseman. Vlad Jr. is a bit on the heavy side. They worried about his quickness. They tried to keep him there. He has now been shifted to first base, which makes a lot of sense. The son of one of the great hitters in baseball history, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. And Vlad Jr. has enormous power, yet he has the great eye at the plate. He will walk. He's going to give you a really good on-base percentage. And he's finally had that breakout season that everybody has been waiting on. I think there was a lot of pressure on him leaving minor league baseball. Some called him the best minor league prospect of all time. Toronto, the country of Canada, they were so excited when Guerrero Jr. was coming up through the minors. They could not wait to see him in Toronto. A lot on his shoulders. He has settled in and now having an enormous season for the Toronto Blue Jays, and you will see him in the All-Star game tomorrow night, which you can hear on WSBT Radio. So the five best players I've seen in person, again, using how their careers have unfolded as my criteria. Number five, Blue Jays shortstop Bo Bichette. Number four, Yankees shortstop / second baseman Gleyber Torres. Number three, White Sox outfielder Eloy Jimenez. Coming in at number two, the Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. And number one, Blue Jays first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We've got a SportsCenter update in a moment, 7:01 at WSBT.
Welcome to Sports Beat AM.
I'm catching on the hosel, right?
Yeah, right.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
Clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My sling feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
It's the 7:05 tee time.
The crowd is just on his feet here. He's a Cinderella boy. Tears in his eyes, I guess.
Four, please. Darren Pritchett is now broadcasting.
Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Welcome to Sports Beat AM on Sports Radio 960 AM, WSBT.
Better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Hour number two of Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Good morning. I'm Darren Pritchett. It is 65 degrees as you start your Monday morning. Major League Baseball Home Run Derby coming up later tonight. You can hear all the dingers right here on WSBT Radio starting at 8 o'clock. Coming up later on in the program, Mike Singer, recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. We'll talk about the decommitment from the Notre Dame football class of 2022. Defensive end Darren Agu announced on Twitter yesterday he is backing off his Notre Dame commitment. But there is a very good chance later today the Irish could get a significant defensive commitment. Four-star outside linebacker Jalen Snead from South Carolina, choosing between Notre Dame and Oregon. Mike feels pretty good about Notre Dame's chances to get this player, who is the number five linebacker in the country according to Rivals and number 46 overall. This would be another big-time defensive recruit for the coaching staff. Jalen Snead will make that announcement later today. More on Agu and Snead in the 8 o'clock hour with the recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. That is our good friend, Mike Singer. 7:10 is our time. Interesting set of comments made by Chicago Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras after Saturday's 6-0 loss to the St. Louis Cardinals at Wrigley Field. The comments that led to his manager addressing them yesterday. So the Cubs lost a game to St. Louis 6-0 on Saturday, just the second time the Cubs had lost to their rival in 8 tries this year. And the Cub catcher, Wilson Contreras, was not very happy about the way the team played effort-wise. His perception was It wasn't good enough. Here's what Contreras had to say to the media after the loss on Saturday. Quote, I feel like everybody was off. Everybody was distracted. I don't know why. Probably because the All-Star break is pretty close. Sunday is the last day of the first half. I don't think that way, but I didn't think we were on today. I think there's a lot going on. There are a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'd rather keep it to myself than say it. That's it. Goes on to say, that's on everybody's work ethic and job. We have to win as a team, but also I cannot ask everybody to play like I do or play like Baez and I play. Everyone is different. I know they might be tired, but I'm here to win. I'm here to compete. And that's what I like to get from everybody else, end quote. Those were the comments of catcher Wilson Contreras after the loss to St. Louis on Saturday. Number one, putting your dirty laundry out there to the media for the fans to see isn't the best way to go about something you believe is a problem. It does no good to go through the media for a player to try to get a message across he believes that needs to be delivered. Now, we see coaches do that. They have their finger on the pulse of their locker room. You might hear Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly point out something about a player, and he could do it from a total strategic standpoint, trying to get the attention of the player. But when a player comes out, it feels different. First off, having watched the game, sometimes you just don't play well. Kim, the left-handed starter for St. Louis, had pitched very well recently, and I thought his stuff was very good. Through the years, to me, one thing that's always unfair from a fan standpoint, having a conversation about their team, when your favorite team plays a game and they get three hit, they get shut out, what oftentimes does your buddy say? Well, they just didn't come to play today. They weren't ready to go. Sometimes you need to tip your cap to the opposition. Sometimes the starting pitcher that day is having a terrific day. He is spotting his pitches. He's changing speeds. He has the opposition off balance. Sometimes the pitcher is just better. And sometimes you have to deal with that. So I think this is a very concerning comment by Contreras when he tells the world, well, everybody on the team should play like Javier Baez and I. Let's also remember within the last 3 weeks, Javier Baez was benched in the middle of the game. How many times do you see that happen? Was that first base with one out? Fly ball to left field by Anthony Rizzo. Baez rounded second, on his way to third, forgot how many outs there were, and then did not even try to hustle back. Just kind of threw up his hands like, meh, okay, you got me. David Ross went over to Javier Baez in the dugout and said, sit. Have a nice day. You're done for the day. Is that what you're expecting from Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward, Ian Happ? To question anybody from that group that they aren't working hard enough or they are not competing hard enough on a single day, you better be very careful. I will take Rizzo, Bryant, those type of guys on my team. They don't take days off. Are you kidding me? Sometimes I try to give the benefit of the doubt for players that aren't from the United States because cultures are different. Things are done differently and things are said there that maybe we don't say here. But Wilson has been around this team a long time. He knows how the media game works. He is extremely emotional. I'm sure he was upset after the loss. Probably not the best choice by the PR staff to put Contreras in front of the Zoom cameras after a 6-0 loss. They did. He spoke his mind. I don't like him going through the media, and I highly question the validity of his statements. I cannot imagine Nico Horner and anybody else in that lineup that was tanking or dodging the opportunity to hustle or play hard or win the game on Saturday. You do that. You call out your teammates. You are putting yourself on a slippery slope. Just because you bat flip doesn't mean you play the game hard every single second. And to throw your teammates under the bus through the media is absolutely wrong. And as a rebuilding process appears to be getting ready to get started at Wrigley Field, you have to wonder if this is a core player of the future. Do you want to deal with somebody like this? It's extremely emotional. He rides the roller coaster waves up and down, up and down. So here's what David Ross, the Cubs manager, had to say yesterday in response to Contreras' comments. Quote, "I think what he said last night needs to be said in-house and not to the media." Bingo. "I think he understands that." "I think that's a good lesson, but I think good is going to come from it, if that makes any sense." End quote. So I guess David Ross is kind of questioning some of the players on his team by backing up basically what Contreras said, that some good is going to come from this. Either he's saying there are some people that need to pick it up. Maybe he's saying Wilson Contreras is becoming a leader. I can't imagine that is what Ross meant. We'll move on. Quote, "I think he was frustrated. He's been around here a long time, and he's been a part of a lot of winning, and it's the first time, really, he's had to go through a little bit of this different stuff going on. And I think he sees things from a different perspective with what he has to deal with behind the plate and playing both sides of that and making sure everybody's on the same page with what they're bringing to the table. And he was frustrated with some things, and he was kind of vocal with that to the media. It was a lesson for him that he'll probably want to handle that more in-house," end quote. I just wonder if the players will listen to Contreras. If he speaks up, will they listen? I'm betting, without being in the locker room again, this is a guess, a hypothetical, I'm betting if Anthony Rizzo says something, people listen. I'm not sure how vocal Chris Bryant is. He doesn't come across as one of those guys that would give you the rah-rah speech or question something. Maybe he does, just perception from watching him. Just because you're not outspoken doesn't make you a leader. You can also lead by your actions. I'm just betting there's a lot of voices in that locker room. People, when they speak, the team will listen. I think Jason Hayward's probably one of those guys. Last year, I'm sure when John Lester looked grumpy in the locker room, people took notice. Not sure if John was much on the speaking to the team, but man, his looks sometime, I think looks could kill. That would get the attention of the team. Don't go through the media. And I just cringed when I read the Contreras comments. When you question the level of commitment of your teammates, boy, you better be right. You better be right, or that can really, really cost you down the line. Maybe it was a good thing they didn't play yesterday. Maybe people sticking around the locker room talking about things. Maybe it's a good day to take a break. A few days off, come back, fly to Arizona, probably, I would assume, Thursday morning, play Friday. Fresh start, the unofficial start of the second half, and hopefully the Cubs can play some better baseball. But there are a lot of distractions with all the rumors about trades right now and this core group not being able to be locked up by the Cubs. I'm sure there are a lot of interior discussions going on in that locker room, knowing that it's never going to be like this again. This group is probably never going to be together again. as the pieces will probably be torn off this roster in the next couple of weeks. So the championship core from 16, enjoy your time together because it's probably not going to last much longer. 7:21 is our time. Darren Pritchett with you. You're listening to Sports Beat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Good morning. I'm Darren Pritchett. It is 7:25 on this Monday morning. Major League Baseball draft got underway last night out in Colorado, site of tonight's Home Run Derby and tomorrow night's All-Star Game. The Pittsburgh Pirates, with selection number one, took a catcher that Notre Dame has faced the last couple of years. Louisville backstop, Henry Davis. There were some premium high school shortstops and a couple of high-end college arms that could have been taken by the Pirates, but they go with a catcher at number one, Henry Davis from the University of Louisville. So we've got now the hopes of Notre Dame's Nico Cavadas being drafted sometime today in the Major League Baseball draft. It sounds like he could be taken anywhere between the third and the seventh round. Nico, of course, played at Penn High School, helping the Kingsmen to win a state championship down in Indianapolis. A star of the Notre Dame baseball program. 22 home runs this year for Nico, setting the program record for home runs in a single season. Became the face of the Notre Dame baseball program. Became known on national TV broadcasts as just Nico. You didn't have to say his last name. Everybody knew you were talking about the Notre Dame home run hitter, Nico Cavadas, so that was pretty cool. And Nico is a first baseman. I know he played some third base earlier in his Notre Dame career. Settled in at first base for Link Jarrett. And that's more than likely the position he will play at the professional level. Maybe there's a chance he plays some outfield. Could be a designated hitter if he goes to an American League team. But Cavadas will hear his name called today in day number two of the Major League Baseball draft. So good luck to Nico and his family. What an amazing moment that has to be. All the hard work you put in. I'm not sure as a kid you start thinking about, man, I could be drafted. How cool would that be? But when you start hitting home runs the way Nico did, I'm not sure at what age it really was like, wow. Although I did see some social media talk during the NCAA tournament, some coaches back when he was playing coach pitch, when the coach would lob the ball in, there was talk about why did we not intentionally walk or just hit him, let him go down to first base so he didn't have to swing the bat. So obviously, probably at an early age, he was well ahead of everybody else. And now, a dream come true. He's going to be drafted today by one of the Major League Baseball teams. So Nico and his family have a wonderful day today, and we can't wait to find out what your next destination is. And who knows, if he goes to the right organization, we might have him back at Four Winds Field taking on the South Bend Cubs, or if the Chicago Cubs draft Nico Cavadas, we could have him here a little more often. But great day for the Cavadas family. Good luck to them, and good luck to any other Notre Dame player that could be drafted today. Major League Baseball draft got underway last night with round number one. It is 7:29. Darren Pritchett with you. This is Sports Beat AM. The best things I heard from yesterday coming up in just a couple of moments. Plus, we have a Sports Center update from John Hoffman on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Come on, man. We're in the league, too. We're in the league, too, now. Come on.
There's three quarterbacks in this football team. Whichever one starts, starts. Whichever one don't, we'll back them up. Period. Cut and dry. It's nobody's concern but ours. Next.
SportsBeat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT, 736 on this Monday morning, 65 degrees. My name is Darren Pritchett. Thank you for starting a part of your day with us on SportsBeat AM. It's time for the best things that I heard yesterday. A lot to get to. We begin White Sox, Orioles, Camden Yards, Baltimore. It looked like the White Sox would win. In nine innings, they led the Orioles 4-2. Bottom of the ninth inning, the Sox had their closer, Liam Hendricks, on the mound. The Orioles had a runner on, and coming off the bench to hit, former Notre Dame star, Trey Mancini.
Mancini pumps it to right. Goodwin, this one is gone! How about you, Trey Mancini? Tie ball game off of Hendricks.
Boom, boom. That's one way to get into the All-Star or the Home Run Derby. Trey Mancini's had some struggles as of late. But another guy that just doesn't give up, his 16th home run of the year.
Trey Mancini tied it up at 4. Great swing there by the former Notre Dame star going the opposite way for the 2-run home run. But the White Sox would have the last laugh. 4-4, 10th inning. That call was from Masson. This call is from NBC Sports Chicago. Adam Engel at the dish for the good guys.
Two on, two out. Adam hits it well into left center field. Mullins back. It is gone! Another home run for Adam Engel. It is 7-4 Sox. Glad that 3-0 went for a strike.
Well, he got a fastball out over the plate and get most of it, because left center field in this ballpark is not an easy place to hit it out.
Jason Benetti and Steve Stone with a call on NBC Sports Chicago. Tony La Russa and the White Sox beat the Orioles 7-5 in 10 innings.
Never give in, never give up. Rely on everybody in uniform because everybody's going to be needed. Everybody stayed ready, and it was their turn. They contributed. I mean, one of the highlights was that, Matt Foster is one of the best guys character-wise you have on the team. Got off to a slow start and been pitching much better, and he got the last two outs of this, kind of an amazing win. So, the guys are committed. Never give in, never give up.
White Sox win over Baltimore. They're 54-35 at the All-Star break, and the Sox have an 8-game lead over the Cleveland Indians. The Sox back in action Friday at home against the Houston Astros. We move along, and the best things I heard yesterday, some walk-offs from Major League Baseball. The Detroit Tigers visiting the Minnesota Twins. The two teams were 4-4 in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Twins only had one out, and Jorge Polanco at the dish.
To left field and deep. And Polanco takes us to the All-Star break. Polanco hit a 3-run home run last night late and again today.
Yeah, Twins had the right man in the right spot. Boy, has he been productive. Both sides of the plate, both fields. So what's been a wild 12-9 game with a lot of base on balls and deep counts and ineffective pitching has been very entertaining for the fans that stuck around.
Well, the Twins, one of the more disappointing teams in the first half in Major League Baseball. Nice end of the first half. They sweep a 4-game series at home from the Detroit Tigers. Polanco, the walk-off home run, that audio courtesy of the Twins Television Network. We move along, and the best things I heard yesterday. Wow, you talk about some stuff happening in the Yankees-Astros series down at Minute Maid Park in Texas. It was Saturday. Gerrit Cole, the former Astro, put together a gem, a complete game shutout. I think he threw 129 pitches. That doesn't happen anymore in Major League Baseball. But Cole beat his former team, and Aaron Judge homered for the only run of the game. And as he got to third base on his home run trot, he took both hands to the front of his jersey and acted like he was covering up something under his jersey, something that Jose Altuve did in the League Championship Series a couple of years ago when they beat the Yankees in Game 7 to go to the World Series. There was speculation that Altuve had a buzzer under his jersey, and with the sign-stealing scandal that we found out about, allegedly, keyword, allegedly, the people that were monitoring the signs of the catcher would buzz Altuve when something off speed was coming. And so he hit a home run and he covered up his jersey. And the speculation is he didn't want anyone to tear off his jersey at home plate because of what might be discovered. Now, that's all speculation. But Judge acted like, hey, I can't show anything. He was basically impersonating Altuve. So that's what happened on Saturday. What can happen on Sunday? Well, the New York Yankees had a nice lead over the Astros going to the bottom of the ninth inning. It was still 7-5 Yankees over the Astros. Houston had two on, one out, and guess who came to the plate? Of course, it was Jose Altuve.
Jose tries one. Deep to left field. LoCastro looks up. You've got to be kidding me. Sixth run. Bottom half of the night. Altuve's done it again. A three-run home run for the second time this year against Tad Green.
I don't know, but that one kind of gave me a buzz, TK.
Maybe the most improbable comeback in the major leagues this year.
Unbelievable.
Great work by the analysts on the Astros TV network. Did you catch that? That gave me a buzz. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect. The Astros score six times in the bottom of the ninth inning and stun the Yankees 8-7. And with all the stuff that has happened in the past, and you had Judge impersonating Altuve on Saturday. Altuve gets the last lap, the three-run home run yesterday to cap off that six-run ninth inning. Astros win over the Yankees 8-7. Oh, boy, New York radio is going to be just joyful today after that. And I'm sure a lot of finger-pointing will resume in New York over what happened a few years ago with the cheating scandal by the Houston Astros. But the Astros win yesterday 8-7. How about another walk-off? The L.A. Dodgers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks Saturday at Dodger Stadium 22-1. Oh, Albert Pujols even hit two home runs for the Dodgers. Arizona, something like 9-54 in their last 63 games. They actually had the lead over the defending world champs at Dodger Stadium yesterday, but you knew it wasn't going to last. 4-4, bottom of the ninth inning. The Dodgers had two on and one out, and all-star Max Muncy at the plate.
Up to deep right field. They don't even move. It's long gone. It's over. A walk-off for Muncy. Oh, they flipped this one upside down and end the first half with a comeback win. What a first half finish.
Must be really hard being a Dodger broadcaster. Nine straight division titles, world championship, couple of trips to the World Series, and they look pretty good again this year in a very difficult National League West with the Giants surprising, the Padres loading up. It's going to be a fun race in the NL West. And then there's Arizona and Colorado. Dodgers win over Arizona 7-4, walk-off three-run home run by Max Muncy. Best things I heard yesterday, we moved to the NBA Finals. Game number 3 in Milwaukee. The Suns won the first two of the series in Phoenix, the series in Milwaukee last night, and the Bucks beat the Suns 120-100. Giannis had 41 points for Milwaukee. Got to the free throw line quite a bit, and Monty Williams, the former Notre Dame basketball captain, head coach of the Suns, he's dealing with some injuries along the front line. There was some foul trouble with the big guys last night, and I don't think Monty was overly thrilled with the way the game was officiated last night.
Yeah, it does. I mean, but that's going to happen. I'm not going to get into complaining publicly about fouls. just not going to do that. But you can look, you know, we had 16 free throws tonight. One person had 17. So, you know, DA is, we got to learn from that. We got to beat guys to the spot. And he'll grow from this. I promise you he will.
DA being DeAndre Ayton. I like Monty there. You know, I'm not going to complain publicly, but oh, by the way, if you look at the stats, we had 16 free throws and Giannis had 17 all by himself. Tough night for the Suns. Devin Booker did not play well. He sat for quite a bit of the second half, and the Bucks beat the Suns 120-100. I guess you could say the series officially hasn't started yet because the home team hasn't lost. Everybody has held serve so far. With Game 4 back in Milwaukee, the Suns still lead the Bucks 2-1. Pat Connaughton, very good for the Bucks last night, the former Notre Dame guard. 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He played a ton of key minutes for the Bucks last night. And finally, as we wrap up the best things I heard yesterday, former South Bend Cub Brennan Davis playing in the Futures game out in Colorado. The best prospects in minor league baseball coming together, and at least for yesterday, he was the best.
Brennan Davis, the 1-1, shifts it to center. It's deep. It is back. It is to the trees. Brennan Davis with the solo shot. The National League with all the pop this afternoon. Especially in this ballpark. We've seen some baseball fly today like that one from Brennan Davis. Up and gone! He's got two!
The call courtesy of MLB Network. Davis went 2-for-3 in the game, 2 home runs with a strikeout. He was named the most valuable player of the Futures game. Davis, the number 2 prospect in the Chicago Cubs system, played 8 games with South Bend this year and played the second half of 2019, part of our championship team in South Bend, rising star in Major League Baseball, and his stars shined very bright yesterday in the Futures game. Those are some of the best things that I heard yesterday. It is 7:49. This is Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT, your home of the Fighting Irish. Degrees at 7:54. This is Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Good morning. I'm Darren Pritchett. Yesterday, the Notre Dame football team lost a member of the class of 2022. Defensive end Darren Agu announced on Twitter he has decided to decommit from Notre Dame, reopen his commitment. He verbally committed to the Fighting Irish back in April. Agu wrote in his announcement, quote, "This was definitely one of the hardest decisions I've had to make. However, after talking with my head coach and parents and thinking hard, I want to announce that I will be decommitting from the University of Notre Dame. I want to thank Coach Elston and the coaching staff at Notre Dame for believing in me. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be a part of a team with such great history. Thank you." End quote. The comments of Darren Agu, defensive end, class of 2022, decommitting from the class. The Irish right now still have 3 defensive line commitments. You got to the outside Tyson Ford and Aiden Gobera, and interior defensive lineman Donovan Heinisch. Also keep in mind, Notre Dame is going very hard after a high-end defensive end in the class of 2022 in Cyrus Moss, and they've already added 2 elite defensive end prospects for the class of 2023, Keon Keeley from Florida and Brennan Vernon from Florida. So the Irish are still in very, very good shape with their defensive line commitments, and they're still after Cyrus Moss, a couple other possibilities as well. Still a lot can happen with the class of 2022 with the defensive line, but Agoo has decommitted, and the Irish will await today the announcement of four-star outside linebacker Jalen Snead. He is choosing between Notre Dame and Oregon. Rivals list Snead as the fifth best linebacker in the class of 2022, player number 46 overall. In comparison, 24/7 Sports has Snead as the eighth best linebacker and 70th best overall player in the class of 2022. Snead will make his announcement later today. More on Agoo and Snead with our good friend from Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, Mike Singer. He is their recruiting insider. We'll have that conversation coming up at 8:35. Right now it's 7:57. You're listening to Sports Beat AM. Sports Center update coming up on 960 AM WSBT.
Leading off the 8 a.m. hour on Sports Beat AM.
Don't you guys go anywhere. Plan to put on a hitting display.
The center fielder.
That boy is good.
Number nine.
Nine times.
A Midwest League champion.
Adios! Walk-off home run, Eloy Jimenez.
Who prefers to cheer for the birds on a bat.
Adios! Goodbye, and maybe that's a winner.
Here's Darren Pritchett.
Good morning, everyone. Hour number three of Sports Beat AM, our brand new local morning sports talk show on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT, 55 days away from the Notre Dame football opener in Tallahassee against the Florida State Seminoles. FSU went 3-6 last year, including a loss to the Irish in South Bend. Mike Norvell, entering his second year as head coach of Florida State. You can hear that game on September 5th, 7:30 kickoff on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We are just a few weeks away from the start of fall camp. Football is coming at us very, very soon. Hope you had a great weekend. We thank you for joining us on WSBT Radio. As we've got Sports Beat AM now to the 8 o'clock hour, Mike Singer, the recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, is going to join us at 8:35 to talk about Notre Dame losing a commitment from the class of 2022, defensive end Darren Agoo, and a very good chance Notre Dame could add an elite linebacker recruit later today. Jalen Snead is a four-star outside linebacker. He's choosing between Notre Dame and Oregon. Are the Irish the favorites? Mike will tell you coming up at 8:35. Again, the recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. You can read his articles right now at blueandgold.com. Your time is 8:08.
Show me the money.
We go with Sizzler. We go with Sizzler.
Our betting segment called We Going to Sizzler. Right now on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, I work with BetMGM. And all the odds we use, you can find at BetMGM.com or if you use the BetMGM app. Here's what we do every weekday morning. I offer you three possible wagers at BetMGM. Then the next day, we recap how well I did or if I stunk. And then we offer three more. So the goal is to have three wagers every day, 15 wagers every week. Now things get postponed or things get canceled or maybe there's a push. So here's what we ended up with on Friday. The three wagers I offered on Friday, we started at Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Kyle Hendricks was on the mound. I told you on Friday, the Cubs never, ever, 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 ever lose when he pitches against St. Louis. He has Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton, Walter Johnson, Cy Young all wrapped up into one when he faces St. Louis. And he did not let me down, nor did the Cubs let me down. The Cubs double up St. Louis 10-5 on Friday, and I took the Cubs on the money line versus St. Louis at minus 165. So our fantasy $5 wager turned into $8.03, so we cleared, after getting our $5 back, $3.03. Good start. Wager number two on Friday, we went with the good guys, the Chicago White Sox, -1.5 runs against the Orioles in Baltimore at plus 100. So for this wager to hit, the White Sox had to win by two or more runs. We were giving up 1.5 along the way. So we installed our $5 wager, and since the wager was plus 100, we could win 10. And by golly, the White Sox hammered the Orioles 12-1. So that's another $5 into the wallet. So we're 2 for 2 so far last Friday. So anything from here is gravy. All you want to do is win 2 out of 3. That's my goal in this segment every day. Get 2 out of 3 right. If we get 3, fantastic. But winning 2 means you're going to come out on the plus side. So we did that on Friday. Our final wager, we took the Detroit Tigers getting 1.5 at the Minnesota Twins at plus 100. So the Tigers started the game up 1.5 runs, and they lost 5-3. We lost by 0.5 run. In the betting world, we lost 5-4.5 runs, so we came up just short of a 3-game sweep on Friday. But the good news is we ended up on the plus side. 2-1 on Friday, we cleared $3.03. Not a big windfall, but those little wins add up over time. So last week, we went 7-4, and we won $9.48, with all of our bets being $5. So for the month, since we started this segment, I hope this continues. Don't bank on it. But in our Going to Sizzler segment, I am now 17-8 on the year, and with every bet being $5, we're up $31.49. So that means I could probably take 3 people to the buffet at Sizzler, and we'll have a nice dinner. So there you go. And again, if you're just joining us on this segment, Going to Sizzler in reference to the comment made in the movie White Men Can't Jump, when the two main characters were going to win, the side character said, "We're going to Sizzler," with the winnings. That's why I named the segment Going to Sizzler. We're trying to make money to put a little food on the table. So we're 17-8 in this segment, up $31.49. We went 10-4 in week one, 7-4 in week two. We were off on Monday. So here we go, week number 3. Hopefully I've gained a little streak cred with the first 2 weeks. No guarantee when the hot streak is going to end. You know it will end. Here we go, week number 3. Here are the 3 selections for tonight. This is a lot tougher. This is much easier to lose some cash along the way because these are more long shots. Because we don't really have any game action tonight. We have Home Run Derby. The NBA Finals do not play tonight. So there's not a lot to choose from. So I'm a little uncomfortable. This is a lot of money being put on the table with some low odds of winning, but we got to do what we got to do. So here we go. I'm going to start with a Home Run Derby parlay tonight. That means I am taking 2 wagers, combining them into 1. Both have to hit for us to win. So a Home Run Derby parlay tonight. First round matchups, Pete Alonso of the New York Mets, the defending champion of Home Run Derby from 2 years ago. I have him defeating Kansas City catcher Salvador Perez. Alonso, a pretty good favorite at minus 225. I'm taking that wager and doubling up with Joey Gallo, the home run hitter for the Texas Rangers. I have him beating Colorado Rockies shortstop Trevor Story. That wager at minus 165. So you put those 2 wagers together, and we bet $5 to win $11.60. So if Alonso and Gallo win their first round home run derby matchups tonight, we will win $6.60. But that's a parlay. We have to win both to be victorious. The second wager for tonight in our Going to Sizzler segment, right back to home run derby, I'm going to choose Joey Gallo as the winner of home run derby. He is at plus 450. He is the second favorite to win home run derby. So we will put down our fantasy $5 wager. And if Gallo is the champion, we do very, very well. We pick up $27.50. We would clear $22.50. Gallo's got the power. Sometimes it is more about the matchup, surviving and advancing, and how fatigued you get swinging the bat as many times as these guys do. You have to win three matchups to be home run derby champion. So we'll see how Gallo does, but I'm going to go with Joey as the home run derby winner. And our third and final wager for tonight, it's looking ahead to later this week, the Open Championship. The final major of the men's golf season will take place. So I'm going to alter things a little bit here. I am going to use five $1 bets on five players who I think could win the Open Championship. So we're going for the tournament winner. So you get some pretty good odds when you have over 150 players in the field. I'm not sure how many have a legitimate chance to win, but it's still a long shot to try to pick the winner. So instead of doing a $5 bet, that was going to go out the window. There's no way I'm going to pick the right guy. We'll just change things up and we'll put five $1 bets on five different players to win the Open Championship. Here are the five I've chosen. Number one, he is considered the favorite coming off a win at the U.S. Open. I'm going to ride the John Rahm coattails off that victory. I've always felt like if he wins one, he's going to win three or four in a short amount of time. He's just that good. Played very well at the Irish Open last weekend. So I'm going to put a $1 wager on John Rahm to win the Open Championship at plus 700. So we win $7. We clear six. Little something. It would cover the other bets, basically. The second, I'm not sure really he's going to be in contention, but he hits the ball so far and the rough, I'm not sure how deep it's going to be. But I'm just going to go out with Bryson DeChambeau at plus 2,800 just in case he kind of owns that course with his length. So DeChambeau, a $1 bet, would win us $28 and clear $27. That's a just-in-case bet. You never know. He's always the wild card. He could be the winner. He could be 20 back, depending if he's spraying the golf ball all over the place. All right, the third Open Championship $1 bet. I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood, a European golfer, a guy that's been looming on the major scene for some time, probably one of the best players in Europe, never to have won a major championship. He's still in his 20s. He's got plenty of time to win. I'm going to take a little wild card shot that Fleetwood's going to have a good week, and we get him at plus 4,000. And so Fleetwood, a $1 bet, if he wins the Open Championship, we would win $40. That would be okay. The fourth of five $1 wagers on the Open Championship winner, I'm going with Paul Casey, another terrific player through the years, another European player, always good in the Ryder Cup. He has never won a major. This feels like the type of tournament, if he's going to win one, it would be the Open Championship. He's played well so far this year. Maybe this is Casey's time. We get pretty good odds, just like Fleetwood, at plus 4,000. So our $1 bet, if Casey wins the Open Championship, we win $40. Pretty good turnaround. But he's one of 156, so it's long odds. Fifth and final choice, just went back to Brooks Koepka. I was looking down the line. Is there someone who might shock the world? I'm sure there's a couple of good choices. They just didn't stand out to my eyes. Went back to one of the favorites, Koepka. When he plays, he's always in contention, so it's hard not to take a shot on him. So I'll take Koepka at plus 1,400, $1 bet. If he wins the Open, we bring home $14. So are we going to Sizzler? Betting segment for this Monday. These are more long shot bets since we don't have games to wager on. We put together a home run derby parlay, Pete Alonso to defeat Salvador Perez and Joey Gallo over Trevor Story. We'll put down that fantasy $5 wager to win $11.60. That would win us $6.60 after getting our $5 back. Our second wager today, Joey Gallo will win home run derby. That's at plus 450. A fantasy $5 bet wins us $27.50. And finally, with the Open Championship starting Thursday, five $1 bets on players to win the Open Championship. John Rahm at plus 700, Brooks Koepka at plus 1400, Bryson DeChambeau at plus 2800, and two players at plus 4000, Tommy Fleetwood and Paul Casey. I probably should have taken Louis Oosthuizen, who almost won the U.S. Open. He almost won the PGA Championship, just came up short. He's won an Open Championship a decade ago. I hope I don't regret not taking Louis, because this might be a spot after coming close the last two majors. Maybe he breaks through for a second time at the Open Championship. It would not be a bad guy to take a little shot with. Louis Oosthuizen from South Africa. So those are the Going to Sizzler betting segment wagers for this Monday. We'll find out two of the three wagers. If we won on yesterday's program, we'll have to wait till Sunday to see how the Open Championship wagers turned out. There you go. Use them at will. Make your own decisions and have some fun. We're going to try to build on our 17-8 start on our Going to Sizzler segment here on WSBT Radio. Darren Pritchett with you. You're listening to Sports Beat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Your time is 8:22. You've tuned in to Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We are also available. You can stream us from WSBTRadio.com. We're on the WSBT Radio app live right now. If you have the Audacity app, the old radio.com, our show is live right now on that app. So many different ways to check out WSBT Radio, 960 AM WSBT, WSBTRadio.com, the WSBT Radio app, and Audacity app or Audacity.com. Darren Pritchett with you. Hope you had a great weekend. We thank you for spending a couple of moments with us on this Monday morning. It is 66 degrees in downtown South Bend. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's the Dan Patrick Show. 3 hours of Dan and the Danettes from 9 to noon. Then Dan hands things off to Mike Greenberg, ESPN personality, back on the radio side with his two-hour program, Greeny, from 12 to 2. The Herd with Colin Cowherd, now from 2 to 5 on WSBT Radio, and with our new lineup, Sean Stiers is the new host of Budweiser's weekday Sports Beat. Sports Beat tonight from 5 until 7. Sean has the day off today. Mark McGill will be filling in for a second consecutive Sports Beat show today from 5 until 7. I didn't know he was actually hosting on Friday. Getting ready to call the South Bend Cub game. Arrived in the 6 o'clock hour. Opened the door and there was Mark on a headset. South Bend Cubs president Joe Hart on a headset, and they were having a conversation. So Mark did a great job of hosting Sports Beat on Friday, literally took off his headset, said bye, ran down to the field, and started as the radio, not the radio host, but the on-field host for the South Bend Cubs. A very quick turnaround, but Mark handled it like a pro, so Mark will be back on Budweiser's weekday Sports Beat tonight from 5 until 7. And Mark will have a chance to host this program, SportsBeat AM, Wednesday through Friday. I'm off for 3 days, so Mark will be filling in here on SportsBeat AM, Wednesday through Friday from 6 to 9 on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. So Mark is the newest member of our family, and by golly, we are putting him right to work hosting Budweiser's Weekday SportsBeat and SportsBeat AM. It is 8:30. We have Mike Singer from Blue and Gold Illustrated to talk Notre Dame football recruiting news in a couple of moments. Right now, John Hoffman. It is going to be so cool this year to hear that song playing at Notre Dame Stadium. The band playing the victory march and the fans going absolutely berserk. Not a scattering of fans like last year, a full house at Notre Dame Stadium. Welcome back to SportsBeat AM on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. My name is Darren Pritchett. We've got Notre Dame football recruiting news to talk about. Yesterday, there was a decommitment from the class of 2022. And also, the Fighting Irish have a very good chance to land an elite defensive player later today. With all the details, our recruiting insider specialist from Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, Mike Singer. Mike, good morning. Hope you had a great weekend.
I did, Darren. How was yours?
It was fantastic. Thank you. Watching quite a bit of baseball and reading about some things happening with Notre Dame football recruiting. You had a couple of articles up, of course, at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. We got a decommitment to talk about and also the possibility of a commitment today. So let's start with the decommitment, Mike, if you don't mind. Defensive end Darren Agoo announced on Twitter that he was going to decommit from the Fighting Irish. I believe he committed back in April. So, Mike, give us some insight about Agoo deciding to relook at his college options.
Yeah, some thoughts here. I mean, on one side of it, this is a loss for Notre Dame. I don't really care how you look at it. I mean, when he committed to Notre Dame, there and I came on this show and was talking about how great of a player he was, right? I really love this young man's upside, about 6'6", with a really long wingspan, 220, 225 pounds with a frame to grow, really good athleticism, more technically advanced as a pass rusher at this stage of his career, just playing 11-man football for 1 year. He moved over from England last August, so really high ceiling. Felt like this could be a young man who's playing in the NFL someday. So that's the first part of it. Like, I'd be a fraud if I came out here and said this is not a big deal for Notre Dame, because I do feel like he's a really good player. But on the other hand, Darren, I mean, defensive line just so stockpiled for Notre Dame. This 2022 class alone, which, of course, Darren Agoo is in, the Irish have Tyson Ford, who is currently Notre Dame's top-ranked recruit in the 2022 class. He's, I believe, number 91 player in the country, although Notre Dame might have a new top-ranked player in the class, which we'll get to here in just a little bit. But you also have Aiden Gofire as a four-star defensive end. And then the 2023 class, Keon Keeley, a defensive end for Florida, who had offers from all of the big Florida schools. And then Brennan Vernon, the number 9 player in the country in that class. So Notre Dame's doing pretty well at defensive end. Of course, Mike Elston's just, again, is always stockpiling that talent. In terms of why Agoo decommitted, I'm not going to – sometimes I just feel kind of weird speculating or in giving details, because, again, these are 17-year-old kids, you know, 16-year-old kids. So he decided that, you know, Notre Dame wasn't the best fit for him. You know, feels like he might be able to get more playing time at other schools. So I believe Vanderbilt is a school to watch here. Maybe Georgia Tech, in-state school, for him, gets more involved. So just a couple programs to keep an eye on for him.
Mike, as you take a look at the future, there is still a very good chance, I hope it's okay to say, that a player like Cyrus Moss could join this particular class. So it seems like there are still quite a few options for this Irish coaching staff to replace Agoo.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have who I talked about earlier, Gobira and Ford committed. Donovan Hynish is an interior defensive line. So you got a good group. They signed a big defensive line class last year, although Devin Alpew from California, an edge guy, he has already transferred. But, again, so stockpiled. And then you're still in the mix for Cyrus Moss, top 100 player out in Vegas from Bishop Gorman. Anthony Lucas is a really good interior defensive lineman, potentially a big end. And they also offered on Saturday a young man from California who's actually from the same international program, PPI Recruits, that Alexander Ahrensberger was a part of. Hmm. Ahrensberger is a German young man, so is Hiro Kanu. Notre Dame offered him on Saturday, which is a little bit of a foreshadowing, the upcoming Agu commitment, which happened on Sunday. So, and I would say if Notre Dame strikes out on all three, taking just three defensive linemen in this class wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. They could certainly maybe use that extra spot for maybe a fifth defensive back or, a fifth offensive lineman, a position elsewhere. And then I'll also mention DJ Wesolak is a four-star defensive end from Missouri. Notre Dame was actually considered the favorite to land him before Agu committed to Notre Dame back in April. So do the Irish kind of circle back on Wesolak? That'll be a name to keep an eye on.
So Darren Agu decommits from the Fighting Irish. You can read more about this particular storyline. Mike has a story up right now at blueandgold.com. Let's talk about possibilities today, Mike. Linebacker Jalen Snead will make his college choice official. What are the chances Notre Dame will hear their name called?
It should be pretty good. You never know in recruiting, Darren. Things can change at the drop of a hat. But I really like where Notre Dame's at with Jalen Snead. I think they knocked it out of the park during his official visit, which was June 14th through the 16th. Really clicked with the coaching staff. He and Marcus Freeman are incredibly close, top-of-the-board target for Notre Dame. So, July 12th, 2021, if Notre Dame gets Jalen Snead, this will be a day that Fighting Irish fans will remember for a while.
Mike, who are the main competition for Jalen Snead today?
Yeah, it's really down to two schools. It's Notre Dame and Oregon. Those are the two places he officially visited. He was thinking about going to Tennessee and North Carolina after his Notre Dame visit. Remember, that 14th to the 16th, that was a Tuesday through a Thursday. So we could have had that 18th to the 20th to take an official visit. All expenses paid trip. He could have gone again June 25th, that last weekend of June. But after he saw Notre Dame shut things down and didn't take any more visits, his trip to Oregon was the weekend of June 4th through the 6th. So I think that kind of gives you a good indication. I always say to follow the visits. And in this case, you're kind of following the visits. That didn't happen, Darren. Alabama had offered him, Florida State. Just a really long list of offers that he had. I believe it was over 30 in total. But, yeah, really down to Notre Dame and Oregon, and I like the Irish.
I know people like lists, Mike, so let's talk about lists for a second. Jalen, he's a top 100 player in this class?
Oh, yeah. He's the number 46 overall player in the country, number 5 outside linebacker, number 2 player from his home state of South Carolina. I've seen him in person 4 times. Which is just awesome. And he is a baller on the camp circuit. I was talking to his head coach, BJ Payne, recently. I was like, look, he's so good at these camps. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but is it possible that he's more of just a camp guy, a better camp player than he is on the field? And he's like, oh, no, Mike, he's better suited on the field. Like, he understood my question. Because he's seen those kind of players, so he's like, no, Jalen's even better. The kid's nickname is Nuke, Darren. If gives you an indication about what kind of player he is, I think that's a pretty darn good nickname. But going back to one of my live viewings of him was just a few weeks ago at the Rivals 5-Star Challenge. I didn't think it was his strongest performance. I thought he was better at the Atlanta Regional Camp back in April. But Jalen still won linebacker MVP of that 5-Star Challenge, and there were 3 5-Star linebackers there, an uncommitted young man from Virginia, and then a couple of Ohio State commitments. So that's just how good Jalen Snead is. He didn't even have his best outing, but 1 linebacker MVP over other 5-Star prospects. Jalen Snead's a 4-Star guy right now, I would not be surprised if he ends up a five-star.
Hmm. Talking to Mike Singer, the recruiting insider for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Jalen Snead, four-star linebacker, will make his announcement later today, as Mike mentioned, choosing between Notre Dame and Oregon. If he picks Notre Dame today, I might be asking you a very similar question on tomorrow's program. But if the Irish get Snead, Mike, are we looking at one of the better linebacker hauls that Notre Dame has put together in some time?
Yeah, I mean, on paper at the very least. I mean, of course the answer is we'll see, but on paper, Snead, if he does end up a five-star player, I mean, that's obviously a really good starting point. And then you look at so this would be four linebackers, and I would be absolutely stunned if they take a fifth, but again, you never know with recruiting. And then the lowest-ranked guy of that quartet would be Nolan Ziegler, who's just a four-star. You know, so it's like he's not in the top 250, but that's a pretty good floor there. And then in between, you have Nuafe Jr. Tui Halamaka, who's in the top 150 player in the country, I believe number five inside linebacker. Joshua Burnham's hovering around a top 100 recruit as well. That young man is just an incredible athlete. So it's a really good class. I see Burnham and Tui Halamaka definitely is, you know, Tui Halamaka is definitely a Mike. I think Burnham is a Will, potentially could end up as a defensive end, maybe a Piper spot. To me, Snead is a Rover or a Will. Same with Ziegler over Will.
Wow. Mike Singer joining us as we talk Notre Dame football recruiting on SportsBeat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Mike, we're already nearing the halfway point for the month of July, and the Irish have been active picking up verbal commitments, mainly on the defensive side of the football. Do you expect the rest of July to be as active as the first part of July?
I think there's potential news that could pop later this week, if not, you know, later in July. Benjamin Morrison, four-star cornerback from Phoenix Brophy Prep, is a player to keep an eye on. But other than that, unless there, you know, could be maybe a surprise in the 2023, I know Notre Dame is having a cookout at the end of July, so that's going to be more geared for 2023 prospects. So I think there could be some news. Maybe a recruit visits campus and decides to commit. But otherwise, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking in my head, like, some of the receiver prospects to keep an eye. I mean, look, Darren, if they get Snead and Morrison, I think that's 19 minutes after the loss of the Goo. I mean, there's not going to be room for 15 more guys. You know, they're going to be able to take about 25 or 26. So, I mean, there's just not that many players that could possibly join the class. I mean, if you're looking at five or six more. But, you know, receiver and offensive line definitely two. You know, if Notre Dame does land Steve Morrison, those are the two biggest positions that Notre Dame needs to land some prospects at, especially at receiver. They only have one guy committed in Amorion Walker and need three more, in my opinion.
One final question for you, Mike, this morning. And that's in regard to Mike Elston. He's back as the recruiting coordinator for this Fighting Irish football program. As you talk to players out on the recruiting circuit, have you noticed anything different that Elston is doing? And are you noticing that Brian Kelly might be a little more active early on in the recruiting process this time around?
Yeah, as far as Elston, I mean, there's certainly been, you know, unique initiatives here recently with the billboards and the pot of gold and some of those things. But to me, you know, that is, although I think the billboards could actually have some lasting impact, especially for those permanent ones. And then, you know, the pot of gold, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, they contacted about 60 recruits in the 2023 class, and half of them were new offers. So, like, some of that stuff is, like, long. It will have a bit of a lasting impact. But to me, the thing about Elston is that he is just so darn consistent. I don't want him to change much, because if he do, it might be a negative thing. So just stay exactly how you are, Mike Elston, because your defensive line units have been so darn good. I mean, there was a time for Notre Dame that it was impact defensive linemen. You know, the Irish struggled to recruit, and that's just not the case anymore. In terms of Brian Kelly, you know, I think the truth is lying somewhere in the middle there in terms of, you know, a couple years ago, you know, the story in South Bend Tribune about how he wasn't texting recruits. And, you know, everyone was just piling on negatively about Brian Kelly. And I think it's a little bit more positive now that and I've heard that Brian Kelly's, like, personally taking over some recruitments. You asked me about Cyrus Moss earlier. Mm-hmm. I've heard really good things about Brian Kelly taking that recruitment into his own hands and working really hard there. But I go back to the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's, you know, it's time to crown Brian Kelly best head coach recruiter in the country. It's also not time to say that he does nothing. It's probably somewhere in the middle.
Mike Singer, he covers Notre Dame football recruiting for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, and he might be joining us tomorrow if Snead verbally commits to the Fighting Irish later today. Check out Mike's work, his Twitter account, rivals_Singer. Check him out at blueandgold.com. 851, this is Sports Beat AM from Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Mancini pumps it to right. Goodwin, that's what is gone! How about you, Trey Mancini? Tie ball game off of Hendricks. Boom, boom.
That call courtesy of Masson yesterday. Former Notre Dame star Trey Mancini tied up the White Sox-Oriole game in the bottom of the ninth inning with a two-run home run. Sox would win 7-5 in 10 innings. But Mancini in Denver, Colorado, getting set to take part in Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby tonight. You can hear the derby starting at 8 o'clock. Don't forget Dan Patrick in a couple of moments. Budweiser's weekday sports beat from 5 to 7 on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Have a great afternoon and the rest of your morning, as a matter of fact.